when you do reality art, reality sometimes is really not pretty. So I definitely try to focus on the issues that are kind of swept up under the carpet as far as the violence and the injustice that we suffer at the hands of the present system. And this is just one of my ways of expressing it.
After protesting being fired from his job at a reuse center, artist Andrew Moore began creating a large political sculpture in his front yard. He calls himself a reality artist. Using found objects, he focuses on African-American history and current affairs. Little did he know that his self-expression would eventually cost him his home.
As I started installing it every day, I would do something that stands for the misrepresentation of Black Americans in this country and show that how segregated we still are. So I started bringing back the past in my front yard. And so it started escalating. And I would find the most ugliest thing in the installation, and I would start running tubes from that, and I would connect them all. My mind clicked in that this is what people need to see, and this is the therapy that I need in order to further on with my life without being angry.
Pressure from the city threatened the existence of Moore's yard sculpture, and in 2013, Andrew lost his home of 20 years. Joan Vorderbruggen, the Cultural District Arts Coordinator for the Hennepin Theater Trust, helped Andrew save his art.
One day an inspector pulled up and said that I couldn't do that in my yard. At the time, she had a police officer with her. The police officer tried to step up in my yard, and I was standing on the stairs, and you can't do this in your front yard. And I'm like, where's the ordinance that says I can't express myself in my front yard? And they're like, well, they didn't have that ordinance. So from that point on, they just started tagging me with pieces of paper on the sidewalk, cracked sidewalks, and anything they could do to tag me. That's how it eventually got to the point where within a few years, they started compiling all these fines until they accumulated over $38,000 worth of fines on me. They wouldn't give me back my renter's license so that I could legally rent the upstairs unit. So they took away my way of providing for my family, for my children. They took away our house because they didn't like the stuff that was in the front yard.
When I became aware of the fact that his home was going to be foreclosed or that he was going to lose his residence, and so at that time I went to his house and I introduced myself and we struck up a friendship and got to talking, and I let him know that I felt that his work was really important, that not only did I see him as a peer in regards to public art, but that I felt that the work that he had done was really a legacy for the city of Minneapolis, and that it was important that we preserve it and that we bring attention to it. So with his help and with the help of several others, we were able to store the last iteration that he had created in his front lawn before he had to leave his house. And so we put that in storage, and then I had to move it a couple of times. And so I eventually ended up hiding it in a vacant building downtown with a caretaker's permission.
I just fought as long as I could. And then instead of getting mad, I mean, it forced me out of my house, but it forced my kids to be separated from me. But what I learned the most and what I got out of it the most is that it turned out to be something that was really educational for me. It was educational for other people, too, because I was able to still voice my opinion to the end.
A year later, Vorderbruggen included Andrew Moore's art that was saved in a gallery installation in downtown Minneapolis. As part of the Made Here show, he added more content to the sculpture and included his paintings and sound.
Jones stored them. This stuff right here, the black-on-black violence, I had that. Jones stored all that stuff for me. The reason for doing this was to let people know that this is not a fair system. And so peaceful protesting hasn't really got us anywhere. So I think we need to go to another step. This is my step.
His work evokes conversations that are difficult and require you to have a level of honesty about yourself and about the real relationships that we have in our society.
I don't know what the future holds as far as me doing any more art installations, but now I have resorted to putting messages on my clothes. So my clothes are artistic. They make a statement about how I feel. I figured that God's got me on this road, so I'm just going to roll with it.
This is Dixie Treichel for KFAI. 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.